Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
It is June 30th, 2021. Let me say that again. It is June 30th, 2021. Good evening and welcome to The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley and Rohan Isles. Before Rohan and I get into the discussion this evening of what's happening in one or two of the islands, we'll take a break. We'll hear from the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and Anchor Podcast. In the meantime, you can download the app, The Blue Table. You just search for The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley in your app or Google Play Store. You download that app and you can get the latest in news, information, whatever have you, breaking news right here at The Blue Table. So we'll be right back and Rohan will join me on the other side.
Providing loans for our families. Development Bank is the business they for we. For we. Oh. Yes, I'm commitment. Providing loans and development for communities. Yeah. Development Bank is working for we. Sustaining a positive nation for you and I. Development Bank is working for we. Development Bank is working for we. Yeah.
Celebrating 40 years with Development Bank, St. Kitts and Nevis.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
And we are back. Again, good night to you and welcome to The Blue Table. Rohan, how are you doing this evening?
Good night, brother. I'm doing well. How about you?
I am not too bad, except though I am becoming, you know, I have been reporting the news, or we have been reporting the news and talking about it. But even for me, since last year, when it comes to, especially when it comes to COVID, and just to disseminate the information or to send out in my broadcast of over my WhatsApp broadcast has over 8,000 and something people across the Caribbean, including St. Kitts and Nevis, of course. And so every day you send out all this news and information, and the news is not even good news. Most times from last year until this year, it has not been 80% of the news is something about the coronavirus, whether it's a shutdown, lockdown, curfew, people losing their jobs, this and that. I mean, it's just crazy, Ryan. And after a while, that plays, I mean, it plays on you, the journalist or the media person or even the commentator at The Blue Table. After a while, it plays on you, man, emotionally, mentally. It messes with you. And I think I am going through that period right now, because when you think that you're out of something, or when you think that, okay, there is light at the end of the tunnel. The light at the tunnel was supposed to be the vaccines. The vaccines came, and when I say came, I'm not just speaking about one particular island. I'm speaking all around. The vaccines came, and people still have the problem. They asked for the vaccines, and they're still not using the vaccines. And these things are stressful. So I can only imagine, for those of us who are encouraging, or for those of us who are influencers, and we're trying to get people to do the right thing, to save themselves, and to bring back their respective countries to some sort of economic boom or economic stability. And they're not following, and you're here, what the sense? Why are we here every night? Or why are we here every day on social media, preaching and pleading to the people? Yes, it's their choice to make whatever they want to do in life, right? But then after that, I mean, you see that what works. We know what works. We know what has been working and proven to be working, right? Okay, so if you have 100, and I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, and I shouldn't dismiss this, so let me say this carefully, right? We've had so many people vaccinated. Millions and millions of people are vaccinated. But here you have a situation where millions are vaccinated. 1,000 of those who may be vaccinated are a couple hundred because of whatever, they those rare symptoms, right? They may have passed or whatever. So folks would use those examples to be the big anti-vaxxers, right? But here you have millions who have lowered their risk of being ill, gravely ill, or even pass away from the COVID. But we go through this every day and it's becoming more and more overwhelming. Rohan Isles.
Yeah, it has been an emotional roller coaster since late 2019 up to now. And of course, as you would have rightfully said, the emotional fatigue is setting in. Emotional frustrations are setting in. And, you know, it's one of those things when you're dealing with humans because they are so individualistic. And we have so many different priorities. This is what is happening. And, you know, it's difficult in most parts to understand what is it that people really want from the situation. A lot of us who understand their own health conditions and understand that it's the risk of catching COVID and suffering grave illness or taking the vaccine and having to deal with whatever issues may come from that, if any at all. One of the things I find rather interesting is that people seem to be putting the vaccine in a ship, separate and apart unto itself. And I think we ought to remember that in the history of vaccines and vaccines trials, what we are seeing with the COVID-19 vaccines isn't new. The people over the years would have had different reactions to different vaccines, where other people would not have had any reactions at all in general terms. And so it is the genetic makeup of the human body and its response to what is going in the body. And so everybody's not the same. And, you know, we continue to press people on the importance.
So with respect, all of a sudden everybody wants to know, well, don't get me wrong, I understand, it's the vaccine. But Rohan, we are not. All of a sudden, everybody wants to know what's going in their bodies.
Yeah. It's no big secret.
Oh my goodness!
What is in the vaccine is there. It is actually there, and that is why, for me, I find it interesting that people are still saying, and this is me personally, people are still saying that they don't know what is going in, and they don't know this, and they don't know that, right? And The same avenues that they're using in their promotion of their personal beliefs and their promotion of not taking the vaccine and telling people not to use the vaccine or whatever else is the same platform and avenue where the information is available. And so, my thing is I don't see what is the difficulty in the situation. People are saying they don't know what is going in. But what is in, let us take the AstraZeneca, for example, which is widely used across the world. The ingredients are listed. And that is part and parcel of how they were able to tell people, listen, if you have allergic reactions to XYZ,
right,
then you don't take this. What people are asking for, in my estimation, and while I respect and understand people's personal view, what people are asking is for scientists and doctors to tell them the unknown. How will I react to the COVID-19? And the reality is nobody is going to know. Scientists and doctors are going to tell you, listen, if you don't have XYZ in terms of reactions to medicine, then you should be fine. But they can do an internal assessment of you by looking at you and say, okay, you shouldn't take the vaccine. And by the same token, Marvin, if you want to go and see an internist and lay out, you know, all of your medical history to the person, then you do that. And you trust the medical practitioner to tell you, yes, you can go and take the vaccine. The problem is, I don't understand what is the blockage between taking the vaccine and not taking the vaccine, unless people are willing to say, listen, I'm going to chances and not take the vaccine and hope that I don't get sick.
But Ryan, these people who are asking for all this demand to know what is in it and what is that, when they go to the doctor, right? The last time I went to my doctor, he scribbled something on a piece of paper. I have no idea what he scribbled. And I even thought to myself, but the pharmacist is not going to understand this. One long line and a scribble. I never questioned it. I went to the pharmacy. I picked up I waited for the whatever the prescription that had to be filled. They filled that. And I was out the door, took my what needed to be taken. And I was done and I felt better in a day or two. So I don't understand. When they go to the pharmacy, the doctors write this note to the pharmacist. Let me ask you. I'm sure that has happened to you. Do you understand anything the doctors would have written to you for you?
Well, the only time I understand is when I get the medication. There's an absolute truth to that, because 90% of us don't ask what is this and what is it for, because we have a confidence. We operate with a certain level of confidence that this person who is called a doctor has the understanding and knows how best to treat us, right? That is how we operate. So is it a case now we are operating Hippocratically? That we now, when it comes to COVID, we absolutely have no confidence in our doctors. I mean, the long and short is, and maybe, you know, if the resource, it would be good to do an actual survey as to find out who are these people who are not taking the vaccine, don't want the vaccine. What correlation do is the economic status in that? Because it would be strange. I would find it particularly strange from a personal standpoint that we know for a fact, and this is what bothers me sometimes. Because, you know, people come with the conspiracy theories and all kind of things. Okay, fine. You got the COVID isn't real, and this is this and this is that. And I often ask, well, explain to me how almost 4 million people have died. Give and take, let us take off 1 million, because, of course, we know we had issues and situations where people were said to have died from COVID, and that wasn't the case. So let us round on, and let us say 3 million people have died directly from the impact of COVID. How is that the case? So we have one person in every island, in almost 200 plus islands, who is a part of the conspiracy. That is what people are saying. All right, okay. Since that is the case, we are being impacted by a virus, and it's not new, Marvin, because we've had MERS, we've had SARS, there was Ebola, swine flu, bird flu, mad cow disease. I'm sure people remember mad cow disease. So many people in Brazil and England, I think, were infected with mad cow disease. That was conspiracy as well. This Zika came along, chicken gunya, all of these things. And we responded to the call to do XYZ. So why is it we are now, what is the situation now, why we are not responding to the call to either strictly pursue non-pharmaceutical measures or take the vaccine? All right. Is he in Turkey? Is he in Israel? A lot of people say, oh, they don't want AstraZeneca. Because AstraZeneca is this and it's that. AstraZeneca had a major issue with blood clots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many medical opinions came out. It wasn't, it's not AstraZeneca. Then it came out, it was AstraZeneca. Okay, you could understand the confusion. But when you look at the relative numbers of people who would have got blood clots from the AstraZeneca, and you read the medical journals, you will recognize that in some parts, these people had other conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just a case where the person was, you know, full on healthy, and they took the AstraZeneca and died from blood clot. From what I read, especially there was a few young women who had what they call low blood count, or whatever the case might have been. And when you analyze all the data, you recognize that there's certain other things that are contributing to that. And these are the things that are happening. And I'm not trying to defend, but I don't see how doctors around the globe are going to be able to pinpoint these things. All right. Here's another thing people say. You're not going to take it because it's a drug in trial. And they have not been given approval and so on.
But it's an emergency.
Exactly.
It's an emergency.
In the same vein, sometimes people don't, you know, it's an emergency and you want certain things to happen. Or, for example, you go to a government office and there are certain protocols that have to be followed for certain things mm-hmm. to happen. But you go and you have an emergency,
For example, if they need a passport, if they need a passport to travel, an emergency, and you have to travel the next day and you have this taken care of, or even the same day, whether it's a health issue or whatever, but you need to get out. You'll see how quickly you get that done. Mm-hmm.
And then you see protocols are being relaxed and so on.
Right.
I'm not trying to compete getting a passport with the COVID-19, but I'm saying that in the situation that we're in, because it's an emergency and because of the severity of the situation where people are being, affected, and then everybody recover. If that was the case, then I would understand. But you're saying 3 million people have passed on, and we know it's more than that. One of the things I've always found in life is that things really don't bother us as a people until it directly affects us.
Exactly.
It's an unfortunate situation because none of us want anybody to die from COVID-19. That is the last thing anybody would want. Not to die from COVID-19 or anything else, because death is not an easy thing to deal with. But for many people, it seems as if, you know, your sister, your brother, your aunt has to be infected or affected by COVID and go through, you know, the rigors of having to be treated first to respond. That shouldn't be the case.
Rohan, go ahead. We're pressing against a hard break, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I was about to say, listen, a lot of us are calling for an economic revitalization. And I think the sooner we get to the point and understand that the world will not begin its ultimate economic recovery until the world population is in a place where it can safely navigate COVID-19, the better it is going to be for us. I think we had a show on already where we spoke about the economic prospects for small island developing states
mm-hmm.
and how the larger countries are going to rebound and rebound well. Small island developing states are going to struggle in the rebound. I didn't say it. You didn't say it. It is the World Bank who said it. So, as we said earlier, emotionally frustrating, especially sharing bad news. But I continue to hope that we for all our sakes, and especially people who are struggling at the moment, and we know quite a bit of people are struggling, that we are going to have a better handle and control on this COVID situation.
Tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss Nevis quickly and may perhaps the BVI and what the latest happening in both of these islands when we come back. Let's hear from Carl and Sons on St. Martin and Affluent Homes on Nevis. We'll be right back. It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
I'm very hungry.
Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Son's Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Son's, the right choice since 1982.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice to your tragedy. Television, online, and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
And finally, yes, we're back, Rohan. And of course, today it was announced that we have a positive case on Nevis. So St. Kitts has been I want to choose my words carefully. St. Kitts has been the island where a number of cases have been actively confirmed, if I may put it that way. Nevis. Nevis just recovered from the one and only. And then a couple of days after now, here it is, that Nevis again has a case. So it was bound to happen. I believe that, and then there'll be other cases, I believe, Rohan.
Yeah. I remind myself daily that the COVID-19 is from the coronavirus, which is a common flu or common cold theory, whatever they want to call it. So if we know how widely the cold spreads, then we understand how this COVID-19 operates. It was only a matter of time before we had our share. Let us hope it's not a lion's share of the COVID-19.
I am not going to get into the. I am not just for the. Until there is a detailed report or whatever the case may be. Yeah. I am not going to get into where the person works and all of that, but it is very uneasy. It's an uneasy feeling to know where the person is employed or whatever the case may be. So we're just monitoring that situation and we're not trying to raise alarms, but I'm just saying that I do not want to get into that part of the conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess we read that. I guess news will come over press briefing if there needs be one, but it is an easy feeling to know exactly those finer details. But, you know, we knew it was going to happen. We knew at some point in time Nevis would have its share of the COVID-19. We did very well in the first wave, and we are... you know, in a situation where the second wave is upon us, and it is incumbent on divisions, residents and citizens alike to respond in a manner that is going to safeguard all of us. I mean, again, we continue to press for those of us who do not wish to be vaccinated, strict use of the non-pharmaceuticals, wearing your mask, sanitizing, keeping your distance. And for those of us who are comfortable, I think today's the last day for vaccines, right?
Yeah, today was the last day for the vaccines, at least for this batch, and we just have to wait and see when the other batch will come about for St. Kitts and Nevis. And speaking about batch, if we go to BVI, Premier Foy announced that vaccine will expire soon. He said if the, and he is not sure if the next shipment will be free. So that's in the BVI where they said that the first timers, they have until July 3rd to secure the second dose and must secure the second shot by July 31st, according to the Minister of Health there, Honorable Carvin Malone. And a matter of fact, I had him on his WhatsApp what he said. He said, to all listening and to all reading, I want to make it clear that all vaccines in stock that are accessible from the BVI Health Services Authority and private medical healthcare facility partners are expiring on July 31st. I'm appealing to everyone who has not received their first dose to do so before July 3rd to ensure that they receive the second dose within a four-week time frame and are fully vaccinated as per the vaccine manufacturer's guideline. I think on Tortola, to date, Rohan, let me just run this down quickly. In there are 12,681 persons have received their first doses, while 8,918 have received their second doses. And the analysis of these totals shows that on Tortola, 10,561 first doses and 7,463 second doses have been administered to date. On Virgin Gorda, 1,896 first doses and 1,160 second doses. On Just Van Dyke, 98 first doses, 50 second doses. On Anigada, 126 first doses and 65 second doses were administered. And the Premier Foy said he's unable to confirm when the territory will receive additional shots of the COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, I mean, this is no different from the rest of the Caribbean island.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, vaccines had a particular shelf life. So the expiration date will come. I mean, for us here in St. Eustache Nevis, it was today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge of the COVID-19, I don't know.
I don't know. It just needs a demonic spirit somewhere. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is going on for 2 years. The world, and as powerful as we are in terms of the United States and the all these countries with all the resources, we cannot get this COVID under control. It's just every week, every day. Man.
Mm-hmm.
Rohan Isles.
It's a challenge, man. It's a challenge.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining me tonight at the Blue Table. And we'll be back tomorrow to wrap up for the week. Thank you so much, Rohan Isles. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Rohan Isles for you. We just chatted there a bit about what's going on in Nevis and the British Virgin Islands and about these vaccines. Do join us again tomorrow evening for a similar presentation. Just sad and frustrating news here, there, and some people, they're not making it easier. You know, let us pray for our leaders. Our leaders, they need your prayer. They need some prayers. Whether or not we support, whichever leader in the Caribbean islands, the respective countries, so pray for your leaders. Pray for the cabinets. Pray for the politicians. Pray for your representatives, because trust me, they need it now more than ever. Have a good night.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.